Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Well, good morning and welcome back. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with you this morning. If you're the parent of a child in middle school, do you ever feel like you're at your wit's end? Well, you're not alone. Family therapist and licensed clinical social worker Danny Huerta joins us. He has some advice for moms and dads who are in the midst of middle school angst. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on your show. This is a great topic and one personal to us and our family and a lot of the kids I'm working with now as well. So this is a very fun topic we're going to be covering.
Well, there's some new research out, Arizona State, showing that moms and dads with kids in middle school are actually having a really tough time. And you mentioned you've got kids in that age group. So do we. We've got a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, and 9-year-old at home. And so this really didn't surprise me a whole lot. But what did the research find?
It found that mothers feel more anxious, dissatisfied, and doubtful about their own parenting skills when the kids are going into middle school. And then it's a turbulent time. Sixth graders are going into sometimes just some older kid type things, and they have more demands on them. They have more classes to attend to, more activities to have options towards. And then just the social setting becomes more complex for kids this age. And what's interesting to add to that research is that developmentally, kids kind of hit the pause button for a little while, social emotionally. They have some emotional changes, but it's not towards maturity. And really, from 12 to 15, it's almost like there's a brief pause in maturity development. And then at 15, it hits real hard where they really mature quite a bit. So there's maturity from 11 to 12, and you see kids growing up quite a bit. And then sometimes they go backwards at 13 and 14, and they're sometimes even more immature than a 12-year-old for a while. And then at 15, they come back. So it is a confusing and difficult time, and my hats off go to teachers that decide to teach the junior high years, because there's a lot to deal with there.
Yes, they should be getting combat pay.
That's right.
Danny, describe, if you could, the normal pulling away that occurs during the middle school years, something we therapists call separation and individuation.
Yeah, really, they're trying to, the brain becomes much more okay with risk. It becomes attuned towards risk. A person begins to seek out risk, and part of that risk is having the separation from parents and branching out. And that's actually a very, very good step that we want to embrace as parents, because it's what's going to help them leave at 18, 19, or 20. If we coddle that too much and we don't teach kids how to manage risk well and how to manage this reality of change in their brain, then at 18, 19, or 20, they're very anxious and nervous, very afraid to leave the home, and very doubtful that they can do it. So this is a very important stage. Yesterday, I was actually at my son's sixth grade graduation, and the majority of moms that I spoke with were very sad and nervous about what was happening, this new stage. And I think they're afraid of their kids failing. That was a big topic of discussion among moms, and just the seeing their kids potentially experience pain, because I think we know as parents, we have a gut feeling that this is part of growth, and there is a compassion towards them. So it's an exciting season, but definitely one that is very difficult, because this is the beginning stage of adulthood for many kids.
And I think if we all look back on our own junior high or middle school years, we can remember that it probably was not the most pleasant time in our life.
No.
And because of that, Danny, it's really critical for parents to have empathy for some of the issues that their kids are experiencing during this transition time. Other than the independence issue, what are some other things that kids are dealing with in the middle school years that we really have to understand as moms and dads?
Okay, well, there's the first one is the onslaught of technology and the the beginning of freedom for these kids, certain freedoms and expectations of freedoms. The other one is social pressures. Kids have structures and systems of society within the middle school area, junior high, where there's the popular friends and certain groups that you begin to choose, and then also just wanting to feel accepted. I mean, that is the acceptance piece is huge. If somebody feels rejected, it's almost as if you got punched in the stomach. So some of the kids want very, very badly to be accepted, so they begin to look at where they can fit in. And then on top of that, there's a lot of homework all of a sudden that kids have to try to manage, and then much more difficult subjects, and trying to manage the evenings with that homework and having family time and wanting technology time, then having if a child has a phone, then you have texts that are coming in. So it's just there's a lot of busyness, a lot coming at them, and the brain, like I said before, isn't really matured yet, and so it's having a tremendous amount of growth. And it's like when you first go work out, it is overwhelming. You have a lot of soreness with your body. Well, if we looked at kids' minds, there's a lot of potential for distraction and a lot of potential for failure. And if kids haven't learned how to deal with that, it can really be a devastating blow to them. And it can be very discouraging not to be accepted. So there's a lot of things that could potentially go wrong at this time.
And, of course, we also have the physical changes and emotional changes that go with puberty. And parents need to make sure their kids know what to expect, not just kind of let it happen, correct?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. Yes, puberty is a huge one. The hormones are definitely flowing. There's a lot more interest now towards the opposite sex, and there's also just a mood shifts that are happening. And for kids, their sleep time, sleep-awake time is different as well. The melatonin doesn't hit till around 1 in the morning, and so they don't necessarily feel as tired going into the night. But the puberty piece in the locker rooms and the talk that go with kids, that can be very intimidating for kids if there hasn't been any intentionality in the sexual development talks between the parents and the kids. So I highly recommend, if parents have not done that before middle school, please take the time to look at resources. There's the Learning About Sex series. There's also actually we have a listing of great resources on our website, focusonthefamily.com. If you haven't tackled that yet, Passport to Purity is another one. Stan and Brenna Jones have some resources. We're developing a new resource through Adventures in Odyssey that hopefully will equip parents 8 to 12 to prepare them for this middle school stage. There's just, through media, kids get a lot of language and a lot of teaching regarding sexuality. And so as parents, we have to be intentional about this, and also helping kids understand the changes that are happening in their body. Hair is growing. The voice is deepening. Why is this happening? Why do I feel hormonal or moody? Why do I all of a sudden feel a tremendous amount of interest towards the opposite sex when I really was aversive to that before? And so there's just a lot of questions that kids may not ask. And so as parents, taking that intentional either weekend or evening time to talk through this, and then beyond that, a continual mentoring through the growth sexually would be great. And so a recommendation, Bill, for parents is to slow down. You have to schedule time to be together and to have those intentional moments. Have time of focus together. Teach your kids how to focus on one another. Focus on that parenting. Engage with your kids. Take time to celebrate moments that are successful, because there are plenty that won't be successful. And then take time as parents and as husband and wife and as a family to recharge. That's a discipline to learn how to rest. And God's given us words to do that. He said to be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we have to just be still. And this, the middle school years is the beginning to try to corral that before the busyness of high school, and then teaching that discipline to kids as they form their own home down the road.
Danny, we're talking about middle school and how parents adjust or don't adjust during these years. Some new research out of Arizona State showing that moms are having a particularly tough time
with the middle school years. Even Wake Forest University did some research, which I found interesting. Both moms and dads tend to be less confident in their ability to be good parents. What are some of the things that, that moms and dads say they're struggling with during this time of life?
Well, really, disciplining, influence, communication. I mean, the three things that really begin to change and shift. It doesn't mean that they're gone. It means it's different. And that is very, very hard for us as parents. There's a similar shift at 9 when kids become negative, and now kids are branching out. So they develop more of an opinion and also aren't as easily influenced. You have to have really some discussion regarding rules, boundaries, limits, and be okay with that and help the kids understand why some of those boundaries are there, not to negotiate, but to just help them see that you've given it a lot of thought and there's vision behind that. And then the communication, this is a big one with technology, being really intentional about boundaries and limits around that is going to be important as parents, because that does change. Kids want to communicate much more so with their friends and teammates if they're in sports. So for moms and dads, it is very common to feel a bit inadequate, very imperfect at this time. And that's not necessarily bad. I mean, there's a shift from kids that they see a lot of vulnerability and weakness in their parents. And this is a great opportunity to develop compassion, empathy, and also a center of humility within the home. Through imperfection, you can create love. That's the beauty of it. That's what God has shown us. And so a great opportunity to love through each other's imperfections of personality and mistakes and poor decision making. So there's a lot there for parents to work with, but we're all in it, of feeling moments of inadequacy where we say, well, we didn't do that really that good. So pause, take a moment to maybe learn from it, and then do it differently later, because you can't change those moments and they come quickly, and you're going to do it imperfectly many times.
Danny, I know we have a lot of grandparents listening. How can they support their adult sons and daughters and their junior high grandkids during this time?
Well, in light of this research, encourage them instead of telling them what they're doing incorrectly, because we know that the parents, especially first-time parents, as far as middle school is concerned, they don't always need advice. Many times it's encouragement, helping point out when they're doing things well is a very helpful and energizing thing. And then sometimes maybe if you live close by, say, hey, I know you guys probably need some time to recharge, and so how about you guys go do something, and we'll spend some time with the kids. We'd love to take them out and spend some time with them, and especially if there are young kids as well in the home, and just taking that intentional time to connect with the middle school kids as well. I think the main point here, the main complaint that I get from parents is grandparents being critical of what they're doing, because it's grandparents' fears that begin to come in. Oh, no, these middle school kids, and I can't believe they would let them do this and that just because it's different. Help the parents become the best parents they can become, and just keep that in mind, that they're still learning, they're still growing, just as you did, and that's going to help support. Now, if they ask you for resources and you have the time to do so, finding those resources can be very helpful as well, so that they can be well-resourced in this time. Many parents say they don't have time to read a bunch of books, but maybe summarizing some of the resources that are out there if they've asked.
Okay, Grandma and Grandpa, your opportunity to be a support to your adult kids as they're raising your grandkids. Danny, can you describe some of the risks and dangers that are present in today's teen and preteen culture that a lot of parents may not even have on their radar screen?
Yes. Through the technology, through the phone, through apps, there are hidden apps, many hidden apps, actually, and you can find a lot of information about this through the internet. You can research it. Just search under hidden apps that teens use, and you'll find a lot of very helpful information on what apps kids are using to hide photos and We also know that the word sexting has been on in the news, and that's an exchange of a naked or nude photo that's sent to a person. And some kids haven't asked for that photo, and they get it on their phone, and then they don't know what to do with it. They look at it, sparks interest, and then it begins a process of some secret stuff that the kids are doing. Or a friend says, hey, take a look at this picture, and just know that there are accidental and intentional exposures to things that kids are just not ready for at all, and really not any brain is ready for that. There's going to be a need now to make sure, if you don't have it yet, to have filtering, to have software on the phones, tablets, computers that help with blocking things, but also monitoring, and then some very clear parameters where the phone is grounds to be able to look at. There isn't any privacy rights. As a lot of kids say, I have my privacy rights. There isn't a constitution for that. That's really part of one of the rights of having a phone, is to have it wide open where anybody can see it. There's nothing to hide on the phone. And don't be afraid to do that. Some kids will be maybe upset about that, and that's okay. It's okay to be upset. It's just that they're not getting their way, and that's sometimes okay to do that. So actually, a lot of the time as parents, you have to go against the kid's will to train that. So that's one of the big ones. Another one is the pressure around drugs. Marijuana and pot has become a very big thing in our country and a normalized thing. And actually, just yesterday, I saw that there was a news story that some football players with concussions are going to be turning to, there's a research, I guess, that says that marijuana is okay to use for that. And that is, when you look at the effects it's having on brain development, there's new studies coming out here in Colorado of the negative effects of pot, especially on a developing brain. They're substantial, and I see kids, their grades are going down, and they feel this idea, they get this misinformation that pot's fine for their brain, and it is not. Up to now, what we're seeing is it's a 10% or 10-point IQ drop for kids as they, if they take that in. Also, mood becomes very, very erratic, and then the processing speed goes down, the ability to transfer memory and be able to access memory goes down, and for some kids it introduces them to other drugs, new drugs, and so maybe they feel calm, but there are other ways to feel calm other than drugs. So those are the two main ones I'm seeing as huge temptations and huge difficulties for families right now in the middle school years. And then there's the other normal, the pressures and the pressures around sexuality and friends that have been there for a long, long time. But unique to this generation is technology and pot, because those are new things in our country that are really epidemics at this point.
Danny Huerta, thank you so much for your time today. I want to mention that Focus on the Family has a free telephone counseling service. You can be connected with a caring, compassionate Christian therapist by calling 1-800-A-FAMILY. Danny, thanks for your time today. And I know you're writing a book on middle schoolers. We're looking forward to that coming out. So keep us updated.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on your show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.